Ancient warfare. The Knossos excavators. Now, the man who had the good fortune to be the first to excavate and discover Knossos, and also who conclusively identified the site as the Minoan Palace, was Herculean lawyer and antiquarian Minos Kallokarninos. He was the son of a prosperous family and himself a successful businessman, but also a man of varied intellectual pursuits. He dreamt of discovering the mythological Knossos, referred to by ancient writers, much like Schliemann and his vision of Troy. The interesting thing is, all these places mentioned by the ancients, it's as if modern man has decided that they were just making everything up. For example, Troy. I mean, Alexander knew where Troy was. Augustus knew where Troy was, but then somehow or another it disappears. Knossos is well known to the Greeks, but in modern times we have other issues that we're interested in, and that material simply slipped away. In Egypt, the Egyptians still saw their monuments, but they couldn't read the writing. And that takes until Jean-François Champollion redeciphers it. So a lot of times we're stumbling into things that have been around for a long time. We've just forgotten how important they were to us. So that's a good thing. We have these people who will be persistent. And then sometimes we criticize them terribly. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Now, the preparations for Minos's investigations began in 1877. And then an excavation began in 1878. However, the island is still under Turkish control, and the Turkish authorities stopped the work after 3 weeks for all the amateurness of his effect. And I really dislike this because there isn't a set of rules on how to do archaeological digs in 1877. You can't go to a college and get a degree in archaeology. He is digging in a site that he believes to be the right place. No, he's not using all the technical stuff that we use today to keep everything and scout it out. But neither did Schliemann and the others that followed. They had money and they could do things differently. But we finally worked that out. And now you need a team of graduate students to do all the grunt work. So rules or do's and don'ts at the time simply did not exist. But his results were indeed impressive. First of all, he found parts of the West Wing. He found the West magazines and brought them to light. He speculated about the area east of the area, so that would be the East Wing, and the location of the central courtyard. Now remember, he only excavated for 3 weeks before they shut him down. His excavations in the West Wing came very close to finding the throne room. Now, his rich finds ended up forming Kallokarninos' own private collection, which was located in his house in Herculean. However, during the violent Turkish activities of August the 25th, 1898, Kallokarninos and his house was set on fire, and the whole collection that he had was looted. All that survived were the few objects, chiefly the pithoi, which are the very large crater containers, from the west wing of the palace. And they only survived because Kallokarninos had donated them to museums in Greece and Europe. Now, they had been donated in hopes of arousing interest in Knossos. Indeed, it worked, as many aspiring foreign excavators were interested in continuing the excavation. Now, I've mentioned this at dealing with Mycenae, and we'll get back to it when we go to Troy. But this era, this Bronze Age era, what the early archaeologists found in Mycenae, in Knossos, and in Troy was something nobody had ever seen. And we're just determining that this is a separate group of people. And that makes for some very interesting conjectures and theories and all sorts of other stuff. But one thing that is certain, The Minoans left a huge amount of material. It's not like you're going to have, you go into a museum and you're going to see 10 pieces of pottery and maybe one rare item or two rare items. I mean, there's hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, that are in existence. And you can even see on the different islands how the various cultures overlap. And when the Minoans go down and the Mycenaeans take over, how the pottery changes, and so forth and so on. So what we have next is W.O. Stillman, the American consul in Crete and a journalist. He wrote an article on Knossos, which was the first to link the palace find with the mythical labyrinth. But Stillman's efforts ended when the Ottoman authorities refused to grant him permission to excavate. Heinrich Schliemann, who at this time had already uncovered Troy and Mycenae, wanted to extend his activities to Knossos. However, the long-lasting Ottoman occupation of Crete, which started in 1669, inhibited the zeal of even local authorities, who longed to get their hands on the collection of antiquities. They were justifiably afraid that as long as the Ottomans controlled Crete, any treasure found in Knossos would end up in museums in Istanbul. So there are people on Crete who would have been willing to sponsor and do more excavation, but they were afraid that all of their objects would be taken to Turkey and not remain in Greece. So that brings us to Sir Arthur Evans. Widely traveled, with a thorough classical training, and a particular leaning towards prehistoric subjects, he already had to his credit a fine record as director of Oxford University's Ashmolean Museum, where he was the director. Evans came to Crete for the first time in 1894, seeking what at the time was an unknown Aegean writing. He collected a considerable number of Minoan seals and expressed his opinion about the existence of two early writing systems in prehistoric Greece. There was Linear A, Linear B. In 1899, Crete obtained limited autonomy through the resident consular commissioner of Greece, Prince George. Conditions became now even more favorable for Arthur Evans, who in 1898 bought the Knossos district from its Turkish owner. At the same time, the Philippalidikos Syllagos of Herculaneum, which was the precursor of the Cretan Archaeological Service, which is a lot easier for me to pronounce, was collecting antiquities from all over Crete, and its secretary, Stephanos Santotidis, was constructing the archaeological law of the island, of Cretan policy. The permit granted to Evans strictly said all Cretan antiquities would stay on Crete, which is good. Being British, they probably would have ended up in the British Museum. The excavator was given the right to publish his work and allowed to keep just a few objects, and those objects had to be approved by the commission. His excavations began in 1898, and they would last until 1931. It was a large-scale excavation that took place uncovering the entire Knossos Palace. After World War II, excavations continued again under S. Hood, later John Evans. He ends up digging down into what is known as the Neolithical levels. M. Popham, M. H. Sackett, they are the ones who found the mansion behind the little palace. Peter Wharton discovered the Royal Road. And others such as N. Platon and St. Eclexion continued to work. And today the work continues at the same time. There's a dilemma at this point, and it's something that I'll go into more detail next week. The dilemma is that Evans believed that if you recreated some of the palace, it would, you know, bring people in to visit it, which is correct. So he did some reconstructions, and they are very effective. I mean, I've been to a lot of sites, Delos, Pella, Ephesus, but in Delos, you have basically the ruined city. So the main amphitheaters and things like that, those are in pretty good condition. But everything else is just a foundation. The Greek government philosophy now is if it's excavated and it wasn't finished, what they excavate is what stays there. So they're not doing any serious reconstruction. If the temple is already there and you need to do some work, that's different, such as the Parthenon. So if you go to some places, there's just wide, flat expanses. At Knossos, you have sections that you can go and visit and look at them and get an idea. The trouble is, in modern times, we've reached a point where the reconstructions need to be reconstructed. And with archaeological money short in the Greek economy, there's a real dilemma. So Evans gets pretty badly beaten around the head, neck, and shoulders from the standpoint of doing that. But it does have its value. At any rate, the sources for this, Minoan's Life in the Bronze Age Crete by Castledon, Knossos, A New Guide to the Palace of Knossos by Tzourkas, Knossos Before the Palaces by Wilson, and The Palace of Minos at Knossos, 4 volumes, Sir Arthur Evans. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.